July 15, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wahiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.muradspeaks, www.blogtalkradiomuradspeaks.com, and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. The Quran Surah 5, Ayah 17, God destroyed Jesus' mother. Who else has power? Matthew 26:39, Jesus prayed face on ground. He doesn't just have a Holy Ghost and a Jesus Christ working with him. Whatever force you see is working with him, even if it's working against him. It is working with him. Nothing can work against him without working with him, because if it is working against him, it is going to manifest its wrongness, its wrongdoing. It is going to manifest or prove itself wrong. It is going to prove itself inferior to God's will and plan. So in working against God, in the end, that thing testifies to the glory of God. So look, all of his opposition to God, when you look at it in Scripture, what does it do? Does it hurt God? No. It testifies to the glory and the might of God. Is that not right? So see, everything serves God, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, nothing comes to me in any statue except the statue of a servant. He doesn't allow any creature coming to him as a God. You can only come to him as a servant. As what he says in our holy book, all of the laws that men have made, they have to have what the Creator did before they get started. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran and in our holy book, he says, what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would decide to destroy Jesus and his mother and every creature on the backs of the earth? Who could bring them back? Now, I think Jesus loved this kind of talk. Why? So Quran Surah 5, Ayah 27-31, Son of Adam. Genesis 4:1, Cain and Abel. War on ability. Dukira equals ability, thinking that's able. Able was ordered then, and when, and was the son of Adam. Cain was considered evil, Eve's child. So I got a child from the Lord equal. I've taken the behavior nature from God. It's no more with God. It is obeying me, devil. So Jacob goes to his thought from his mother, who taught him how to deceive. So Eve was teaching Cain equal she would be in his influence, not God. Abel gave the flesh of the womb to God, and Cain gave the fruit of the ground as sacrifice. Fruit of the womb is the behavior. Abel gave his behavior to God. He obeyed God in his behavior. Cain didn't obey God in his behavior. he gave fruit of the ground, for he thought by him progressing the intellect that he was serving God. And he thought that his aiding the intellect to develop was a greater charity, sacrifice to God, than obedience. The world of the wicked think our righteousness is nothing as much as a tribute to God as the advancement of science, etc. Tubal Cain. From Cain came Tubal Cain, craftsman in all fields, skillful artisan, industrialization, modernization of the world came from Cain. Tubal means the power sense how to form material matter instruments to contain the spirit. So Tubal Cain, the musician makes a tub, and the spirit goes into the tub, it makes the sound he likes. It appears not to his intellectual ear, but to his sensuous ear. Not only musical instruments, but the mold of industry is now becomes tools to house your spirit. If you can form the material environment so it can contain the spirit of the man, then however you design it, that's how the spirit will come out. Abel must have been the religious order, society that was here before the industrialists. And the industrialists killed his brother, who was before him, by hitting him in the head. One working to cultivate the spiritual life, morals, nature, so human nature would be proper before God. The other was working to extract all the sciences out of the matter, universe. He got jealous of his brother because the people cared more for the servant that Abel was doing than Cain. Cain went to take the admiration influence from his brother. So Cain is the Western democracy. Industrialist wants to discredit the moral God, fearing man. He took up a stone, threw it, and he hit his brother in the head. His blood soaked the ground equals the blood is the life of the religious society. They have taken that science. They have taken that since that was to feed wisdom to guide human behavior. They had taken it and made it just an appetite. They take it now only to appeal to their intellectuals instead of taking it to know how to behave. Cain is the Western democracy. The people who manage the resources of the earth are those who war on the ability of the common man. Your main fight is not racism. It is a fight to defend your mobility. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayat 27-31, Abel Cain. Genesis 4:2-15, Cain and Abel. So Hadith, ink of a scholar more precious than the blood of a martyr. 1 Corinthians 3:2, milk fed, not meat, you not be able to handle it. So what is the difference between their two sacrifices? One sacrifice was of the ground, his sacrifice was of the reed. So the reed is a plant that grows straight up. Cain, that is where he gets his name. God didn't want his sacrifice. He wanted Abel's sacrifice. What was Abel's sacrifice? Abel's sacrifice was sheep. Cain read material logic. So the reed that Cain reads straight, reed represents material logic. Material logic following a straight course, it must be consistent. You establish a premise, the second premise must support the first premise. They must follow consistent, but it doesn't have body. Its purpose is not to give body. Its purpose is only to establish the discipline. It is a logic. Its purpose is to establish a great non-violating discipline. So the reed got a big opening in it. Cain, the reed, got a big opening in it. Most of the reeds grows up with a big hole in them. So he offered that to God. God does not accept that offering. Why? Because he didn't make the first offering. The acceptable is the sheep. You didn't offer the sheep. You offered the Cain. Oh, I'm going to give something to God's wisdom. I got some great material wisdom. I'm going to give this to the world. This will make a great contribution to the world. The world, great material world, offer great logic. I'm going to give them material. God says, where is your sheep? You ain't got none. You take your reed and jam it. So sheep, what does sheep represent? Sheep represents human. Sheep represents the human. The sheep is an animal that is in his attribute, is like the beauty of a human being. He is peaceful. He is not warlike. So this is the attribute that we love in the human being. So we love to see human beings loving, not proud, sociable, warm, natural, nature. This is the sheep. Allah wants you to have that first. If you want to give him something, give him that. Show Allah that you are a human, that you are warm-hearted. Show him that you are a sociable nature with other human beings. Show him that your greatest worth that you have, you are charitable with it. So sheep more wool than need charity. So the sheep is a warm-natured animal, but look, he grows more wool than he needs. So you can take his wool and put it on you. Sacrifice only certain animals. The Quran, Surah 22, Ayah 37. Sacrifice your piety, not blood, reaches God. So we are only allowed to sacrifice certain animals. So we can't sacrifice any animal in the Hajj. Only certain animals, sheep, cows, cattle, goats. You can't go there with snakes and dogs and think like that. So what is the meaning of sacrifice? The sheep. So if the sheep are so good, why do we sacrifice them? Actually, you don't understand the meaning of sacrifice. Sacrifice the sheep. You don't eat his blood. It is forbidden for us to eat his blood. His blood is supposed to be for according to scripture. But God says, what you offer me, it doesn't come to me. What comes to me is your righteousness. It says that what you sacrifice to me on the altar doesn't come to me. So what is the meaning of the sacrifice of the sheep? It means that even the attributes in you must not be a selfish attribute. It must not be something in you for society. It must be something in you for Allah. Your human motivation should not be for society. It should be for Allah. Meat represents knowledge. So what should you give society? You give society the meat. What does the meat represent? It represents the knowledge, the motivation it gives to Allah, the drive, the motivation, the attribute. Give it to Allah. Submit it to him. God, my will, my motivation, my ambitions are all for you. It is not for political power. It is not to humanize society. God, it is for you. You are the number one for everything that I do. You are the number one. I can't put society before you. Wouldn't I be wrong to say that I'm going to be human and humanitarian for society's sake? When Allah made me like this and put this nature in me, and put it in you and made it possible for me to reach you with this nature, then why should I say I am being humanitarian for society's sake? I'm being humanitarian for Allah's sake. I am doing it to please Allah. Now I'm obligated to give you the knowledge. And the book says, oh, a lot of people in religion, they can handle milk, but few know how to handle meat. So meat stands for the knowledge, the wisdom, and the science. Sacrifice, give your ambitions. So the sacrifice means you give your humanitarianism, motivation, your peaceful motivation, your peaceful ambitions, like a sheep gives it for Allah's sake. If you don't give it for Allah's sake, your humanitarianism will become a disease on society. Artificial humanism, having too many people lead us to an artificial humanism, humanitarianism, and over sheepish humanitarianism, where they become really sheep for the wolves of the world. So we must connect this with martyrdom. The highest contribution in jihad is martyrdom. What is the meaning of that? It is a sacrifice. Look at what Prophet Muhammad, praying the peace be upon him, said. The ink of a scholar is more precious than the blood of a martyr. That is a hadith that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, has said. Sacrifice your knowledge to common man. Just to make sacrifice of that nature for your faith's sake, but keep the knowledge that will elevate the common man from him. What kind of sacrifice is that? It is an inferior sacrifice. The greatest contribution will be to make the sacrifice of your ambitions for God's sake, but also to give the common people the knowledge that you hold. Cain, the rational urge, killed Abel, moral upright. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayah 27-31, Abel, Cain. Genesis 4:15, Cain, whoever killed him gets sevenfold punishment. Bukhari, page 3, 624, help brother when he's wrong. El Hadith, page 1, 297-78, believers in mirror for believers. So in this religion, we accept that we are our brother's keeper. So the book tells us, that is, the Bible tells us, of a son coming from the first man who was made or created, and that son turned his own brother and slew him. And the Bible shows us that son having to live with the question, should I be my brother's keeper? And the Bible warns the people that if they identify such person, don't kill him. It says to kill him would be seven times worse than his crime, meaning that the man Cain killed was a moral upright man, a man who was morally motivated. Now, if you kill one who represents the urge for rational understanding in the world, even though the urge for rational understanding has brought the world under misery, brought the world into corruption, misery, and cruelty, we can't slay that particular urge in man. We must let it live. But there are some religion orders who say, slay that urge in man, don't they? They say that you are not supposed to apply your rational faculties in their particular religious discipline. You are to feel the way spiritually and to cut off yourself, separate yourself from the desire to understand rationally. That is what they tell you. So we know we are supposed to be our brother's keeper, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, obligated us that if anyone gets a little knowledge, he doesn't have to be educated. All the people he was teaching were uneducated. Very few educated people were amongst him. They were people from foreign societies. So the people he was teaching was not educating people. And if he told them, whoever learns a little bit, he is obligated to pass that little bit into another ignorant person. So we are supposed to be our brother's keeper. If you can't understand it in that high fashion, let me show it to you in the plain, ordinary sense of the word, of the holding or protecting your brother in the world. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, told his followers, help your brother whether he is in the wrong or the right. And they asked him, dear messenger of God, prayers and the peace be upon you, how is it that we should help our brother when he is in the wrong? He said, hold him back from wrong. So we must understand that our religion is not like that religion that says you are not responsible for the behavior of your brother. You are. And in another place, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, says, the Muslim is the mirror for his brother. A mirror will show you your defects if you look at it, if you turn toward the mirror. It is going to show you that which is crooked, wrong. So your face is dirty. It is going to show you. If you have an ugly expression on your face, that mirror is not going to make you look like a sweet dandelion or something. That mirror is going to show you just like you are looking. And if the mirror does not show you the way you are looking, the mirror is wrong. It is wrong. But if it is a straight mirror, it shows you just what you are. It only reports what it sees, and it reports it correctly. So we must understand that. Shouldn't the strong assist the weak? Let us not be any longer victims of this society that sensitizes morally to ignore the weak amongst us, thinking that you can't be responsible for the weak. Everybody has to make it for themselves. Anytime you accept that, you are accepting the law of the jungle, survival of the fittest. We don't buy that. Western society brought that, survival of the fittest. And believe me, most of their rulers over us now, that is their law, survival of the fittest. And they say, hell, let's throw this out there into society. The one who will be the one fit, the ones that it destroys, they were not fit to survive. They go by the process of elimination, what they call in science, natural selection. And it means selection by adaptation, and those who cannot adapt, they are destroyed. So Quran Surah 6, Ayah 2, men created from clay. Three developments, one dust, two desire, three divine. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, peace and blessings upon his servant and his messenger, Muhammad, forever. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum, my dear brothers and sisters. The more you become acquainted with the Bible and the Holy Quran, the better you will understand that there are three movements, growths of the person, forward to fulfill of the manifestation of divine life. The first growth is called the growth out of the dust or clay. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So when the human child comes into life, it is flesh and blood. But this form is not the beginning of the individual life. Before that birth, it was existing in its father and mother. So this is the same as saying that it was existing in the earth because the father and the mother are of the earth in physical form. Second, growth, desire, and appetite. So the child then grows out of the dust, earth, into the world of individual life. So this life is called a life of desire. And it is this term of growth that the child delivers appetite for different things of creation. Pardon me. Out of the individual can grow into a third and final growth into the world of divine life. So the world of divine life could only be called knowledge until the manifestation of the presence of divine in our midst today. It was under the influence of falsehood, darkness, and its knowledge was both true and false. So the knowledge of evil is a knowledge, but it is a false knowledge. The three wounds of darkness, the human being begins his life in triple darkness. There are three wounds of darkness to grow out of. The growth out of all of these wounds comes naturally. But falsehood in the world acts against the natural development and prevent this knowledge from manifesting as pure divine knowledge. So when we say divine, we don't mean unnatural movement, growth, or development. Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again. He meant that Nicodemus had come through the three stages of development, or the three growth periods, but he had been born dead, stillborn, because his knowledge was false. To be born again, he would have to die in his present mind, give up his world and his mind and be reborn in the right mind. So human growing constantly. The human being is constantly developing. But if we are not aware of ourselves as something constantly being created, we will die before we are delivered from the total wound of human life. We are talking about a growth from dust to a complete human being. So divine truth removes falsehood. None of the three growths or movements towards divine life is ever destroyed within us. They remain with us to form a kind of trinity of check and balance. The one of the three rules the other two. So that is the divine person. Once you come out of the third womb and that third life has been made divine, the pure light of divine truth has now come into and remove all falsehood. So in Genesis, you have a man being made from dust. And then you have a city manifesting from the sky. So the book is not telling you to give up the world. It is telling you to make grow the world from dust to industry. So God challenges. Nature shows you that every life that comes into the world must make its own world. When you come into the world, you come into a world that is designed to give you birth, but it is not designed to satisfy your needs. Each life comes in with a different nature. So the human life has a human nature whose eyes open to the world, and say, I must make my own world from the creation given to me by the Creator. So every creature makes this world. So the divine supreme being gives it a supreme pattern and all of the material needed for making this world. But he himself is not going to make it for you. He gives you the nature and the mind, and he opens up your eyes to his great doing. Then he challenges you by telling you to make your own. So the Adam of divine will, the mission of the nation of Islam, is to first wake you up to yourself. Who is yourself? Your own self is a righteous Muslim. So the first thing is to know yourself as growing and developing life with origin in divine. So we are taught that before the physical world became observable by physical observation, there was an atom existing in the dark womb of space. That atom, the power of itself, to manifest itself to physical creation. The Adam here represents the divine will that is manifest by the divine power originally. So we are in the Adam of divine will, and the Creator manifests us out of that Adam into a physical world, formed to manifest the divine in us again. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the light of truth, brothers and sisters, it is the day for you to grow into your divine life, the brilliant life of truth. It's in elevating, enrolling with us. It's penetrating rays of light and light to remove the excess of ignorance from our mind. So the Nation of Islam is that body, the body of Christ, in which you can grow into the full development of your natural growth without the hindrance of false knowledge or untrue guidance. I bring you divine knowledge and perfect guidance from the divine mind of Almighty God Allah. The Quran Surah 6 Ayah 2, create man from clay, then another term. Genesis 2, 7, man from dust of ground. Genesis 5, 1 to 2, create he then. So when we were talking about the genesis or the birth of man, it is in its habit is to refer to the birth of man as the birth of a single individual. The story begins with a picture or a description of a single individual, but as we continue this reading of Genesis chapter 1 through 5, we come to realize that the Bible is not talking about the creation of one single individual. It says that the male and the female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. So when we understand the creation of the man in the Bible, Genesis, as the making or the forming of a people or a righteous community, human formed by words. But if we understand it is the baby language, the language of allegorical pictures pointing to and interpreted without interpretation. It only pictures pointing for the mind of baby like people, lit with it. Let what is it this that the Bible is telling us about the creation of the genesis of man or a community that is so important that it is given as a beginning of a genesis of human beings. Is this people don't start to be people until their minds are born. As long as they are not considered people, you can go to some of the mental hospitals and examine people whose minds, their minds have been totally crippled. And you will see bodies, but you won't see them as people. Many of them behave and look like animals because the human mind is not whole or not operating as a living mind. Similarity in the so-called same words, you can find many people who resemble people in physical form, but when you get acquainted with them, they resemble mad animals rather than human beings. A human being is a unique and special kind of a creature. He's not necessarily born when he comes physically into the world or when he comes physically into adulthood. He is only born when certain faculties are awakened in him or her. So the physical person is like a dead body in the earth with no life. So we find in Genesis a good description of the particular human nature. We begin with a description of the human being as clay. Clay is a physical substance that can be shaped into the form that you desire it to be shaped into. If you take clay and form it into the form of a person, you don't have a person. You only have a physical image or picture of a person. Genesis tells us that God made that from clay or the dust of the earth. He formed him and then breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So the Quran Surah 6, Ayat 2. Men created from clay, from dust to divine. Three developments. One, dust. Two, desire. Three, divine. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, peace and blessings upon his servant and his messenger, Muhammad, forever. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum, my dear brothers and sisters. The more you become acquainted with the Bible and the Holy Quran, the better you will understand that there are three movement groups of the person toward the fulfillment of the manifestation of divine life. The first growth is called the growth out of the dust or clay. And the Lord God formed men of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So when the human child comes into life, it's flesh and blood. But this form is not the beginning of the individual's life. Before that birth, it was existing in its father and mother. So this is the same as saying that it was existing in the earth because the father and the mother are of the earth in physical form. So the second grows desire and appetite. So the child then grows out of the dust, earth, into the world of individual life. So this life is called the life of the desire, and it is in this term of growth that the child develops appetite for different things of creation. Out of the individual life, the individual can grow into the third and final growth into the word of divine life. So the word of divine life could only be called knowledge. Until the manifestation of the presence of divine in our midst today, it was under the influence of falsehood, darkness. And its knowledge was both true and false. The knowledge of evil is a knowledge, but it is a false knowledge. So the three wounds of darkness, the human being began his life in triple darkness. Three are three wounds of darkness to grow out of. So the growth out of all of these wounds come naturally. But falsehood in the world acts against the natural development and prevents his knowledge from manifesting as pure, divine knowledge. So when we say divine, we don't mean a natural movement, growth, or development. Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again. He meant that Nicodemus had come through the three stages of the development, or three growth periods, but he had been born dead, stillborn, because his knowledge was false to be born again. He would have to die in his present mind to give up his world and his mind and be reborn in the right mind. So human growing constantly. The human being is constantly developing. But if we are not aware of ourselves as something constantly being created, we will die before we are delivered from the total wound of human life. We are talking about a growth from dust to a complete human being. So the divine truth removes all falsehood. None of the three growths of movement towards divine life is ever destroyed within us. They remain with us to form a kind of trinity of check and balance. But one of the three rules the other two. So this is divine person. Once you come out of the third wound and that third life has been made divine, the pure life of divine truth has now come in and removed all falsehood. So in the Genesis, you have a man being made from dust. And you have a city manifest from the sky. So the book is not telling you to give up the world. It is telling you to make grow the world from dust to industry. God challenges. Nature shows you that every life that comes into the world must make its own world. So when you come into the world, you come into a world that is designed to give you birth. but not designed to satisfy your needs. Each life comes in with a different nature. The human life has a human nature whose eyes open to the world and says, I must make my own world from the creation given to me by the Creator. Every creature makes his world. So the divine supreme being gives it a supreme pattern and all the material needed for making its world. But he himself is not going to make it for you. He gives you the nature and the mind, and he opens up your eyes to his great doing. Then he challenges you by telling you to make your own, the atom of divine will. So the mission of the Nation of Islam in the first wake is first to wake you up to yourself. Who is yourself? Your own self is a righteous Muslim. So the first thing is to know yourself as growing and developing life with origin in divine. So we are taught that before the physical world became observable by physical observation, where there was an atom existing in the dark womb of space, that atom had the power of itself to manifest itself in the physical creation. The atom here represents divine will that is manifest by the divine power. Originally, we were in the atom of divine will, and the Creator manifest to us or manifested us out of that atom into a physical world form to manifest the divine in us again. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the light of truth, brothers and sisters, this is the day for you to grow into your divine light. The brilliant light of truth is ever enveloping us with its penetrating rays of light. The light to remove the excess of ignorance from our minds. The Nation of Islam is that body, the body Christ, in which you can grow into full development of your natural growth without the hindrance of false knowledge or untrue guidance. So I bring you divine knowledge and perfect guidance from the divine mind, Almighty God, Allah. The Quran, Surah 6, Ayah 2, created man from clay, then another term, Genesis 2, 7, man from dust of the ground. Genesis 5, 1 to 2, created him then. So when we are talking about the genesis or the birth of man, it's habit to refer to the birth of man as the birth of a single individual. The story begins with a picture or a description of a single individual, but as we continue this reading of Genesis chapter 1 through 5, we come to realize that the Bible is not talking about the creation of one single individual. It says that the male and the female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. When he understood the creation of the man in the Bible, Genesis, as the making or the forming of a people or a righteous community. So human form by word. But if we understand it in the baby language, the language is allegorical, pictures, painting, to be interpreted without interpretation. It only pictures painting for the mind of a baby like people. That what is this that the Bible is telling us about the creation of the genesis of man or a community that is so important that it is given as a beginning or a genesis of human beings. It is this people don't start to be people until their minds are born. As long as they are not considered people, you can go to some of the mental hospitals and examine people whose minds, their minds have been totally crippled. And you will see bodies, but you won't see them as people. Many of them behave and look like animals because the human mind is not whole or not operating as a living mind. Similarly, in the so-called sane word, you can find many people who resemble people in physical form But when you get acquainted with them, they resemble mad animals rather than human beings. The human being is a unique and special kind of a creature. He is not necessarily born when he comes physically into the world or when he comes physically into adulthood. He is only born when certain faculties are awakened in him or her. The physical person is like a dead body in the earth with no life. So we find in Genesis a good description of the particular human nature. It begins with this description of the human being as clay. Clay is a physical substance that can be shaped into the form that you desire it to be shaped into. If you take clay and form it into the form of a person, you don't have a person. You only have a physical image or picture of a person. Genesis tells us that. God made that from clay. Or the dust of the earth. He formed him and then he breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Human creation inside of a human. The Quran, Surah 8, Ayah 17. Prophet not thrown, dust killed about Allah, pardon me. Prophet not throw, dust killed but Allah. The Quran, Surah 4, Ayat 171, Jesus' word and spirit from God. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayat 4, God wants sons be taken from what he created. 40 Hadith, page 118 to 38. Allah became your seeing, hearing. So Mesket Masiba, page 2, 471, and 650, Adam, compassion, vision. John 13:16, Jesus said, sin not greater than sender. So Jesus, God says it plain in our Quran that he never had a consort or a female mate or a wife, that he never had children. He only has to create them as he has created those men, all of the men that we have on the earth. And actually, he's referring mainly to as he created man before men is referring to prophets mostly. So we believe that God creates persons inside of the person. So God creates a human inside of a human being. That a human being is born of a woman in this world of flesh, and God can create the human being inside the human flesh. And we believe that Jesus Christ is a creation of God, and we believe that he is the Christ. But we don't believe, like the Christians believe, or I should say, like the Christians express themselves or express that belief. Why do I say that? Jesus, close to God, spoke in first person. I appreciate that God be with us and guide us. I have come to understand that Jesus, like many holy men, they can speak, and at the same time they are speaking like they don't recognize themselves, they recognize only God. So they will be speaking in the first person, and I'm convinced that Jesus was such a person. And he spoke like that. So whenever God took over his presence, then he was not him speaking, but he was speaking only what God was saying to him. And therefore he spoke in the first person. And the people took him to be God. Next, so where do I get that understanding from? Where do I stand upon? As Muslim scholars, they say, give me the evidence. In our holy book, God says that he created you from one soul, and of it I made it mate and spread it from that to many men and women. So if this was one and God made of it a mate, then it says next in Wahida, one soul, one person. in Quranic Arabic, particularly self, soul, persons are all the same word. Depend on how you use it in a sentence. So in the context that we find the beginning of man, creation, this nafs is soul, not a person, it's soul. And what it is saying that the human soul, the beginning of human life, human soul, because the body is not the beginning of human life. You go to the jungle, you find primitive people not touched by civilization and education. They're savages, and they lack humanity. They're missing humanity. So the beginning of the humanity or the beginning of the human person in humanity is the beginning of that human being in his humanity. And it begins as a soul, and then God causes it to have its mate, the female. And they mate, and they produce, as God says in our holy book, women and men in great numbers. So we know that's not the case anymore. It's women in great numbers. So most of the scholars, in fact, I have met the exception. I met some very uncomfortable with it, they wouldn't speak. Most of the scholars readily admit that women are humanly equal to men, so that they have the same capacity for intelligent development, for education, and also for assuring roles in society, wherever those roles are. So they even their physical body can be developed to do what a man does physically. So that's what we believe. Not that we want them to do that. We don't want them to do that. We don't think that God intended for them to take on that kind of role in society. So the Quran, Surah 9, Ayat 1-5. The merciful. The Quran, Surah 27, Ayat 30. Solomon wrote Sheba Bismillah. The Quran, Surah 6, Ayat 94. You will return to us bearing alone. Isaiah 11:6. The child shall lead them. 9th chapter, no Bismillah, Rahman Rahim. Baby born 9 months, can't speak, but goes on its nature. So not only that the night of power for anything, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and mean it. It has to come from your heart and soul. If it comes from your heart and soul, you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting you. So there is only one chapter that does not begin that way. And we know it. It is the 9th chapter. And we are in the womb of our mother for an exception 9 months. And in the 9th month, not the 10th one, the delivery is right. And the baby is too young to say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The baby is just going on its nature. So the nature that God created it is supporting it. Now, there are some old guys like me who are still babies, and our nature is supporting us, as we do not have it up here, not yet. And a lot of us die and never get it up there. So we are the ones, as long as we have good intentions, we are in God's will and in his spirit, and we are part of his revelation. So it is not given in the beginning. That means no one spoke it outside of the content or outside of the text or the content. But when you get into the body of that surah, God found a way to give it to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. So it is there, and it is not serving the purpose that the Bismillahirrahmanirrahim served in the whole of the Quran. Was 113 surah or chapter, P17, so it is inside, right? So what is it saying? When God put it inside there, inside of that, one did not have it reach his conscience. It was inside of his nature. So his own nature respects Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So Muslim Bismillah inscribed in our nature, yet not in our conscience. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not saying it with his mouth. When he's innocent inside of his own nature, it's Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inscribed many things upon our nature. They are not in our conscience. They work in our nature. Everyone is a Muslim, but it is not in his conscience yet. So when he is born, but in his nature, it is beautiful. And by means in the name of the king or in the name of the people, what is he saying? He is saying, whatever I am doing, it is owing to the fact that I am authorized by the people, or this is authorized by the king. So when we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, that is exactly what we are saying. Whatever we are engaging or whatever we are getting into here, it is authorized by our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our God, who is the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Now, what is this saying to that your own nature knows? It's benefactor, and it is going to be redeemed. It knows its redeemer. It knows the mercy of its Lord. It does not claim anything for itself. It just obeys the law and the will of God. So it is already performing as though it is saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now I feel like doing the buck dance on top of the table. So Kadira, Cow, Chew, Cud is from it. Now, the Kadira, you know, they say the cow chews the cud. I believe that they got cud from Kadira. From Al-Islam, from Quran, could put the cow, it has reference to a second stomach. So the cow eats, and when it's finished eating, it will chew again what it swallowed. And when it does that, it's chewing the cud. So I do believe that cud and kadira goes together. That English people, when they brought that word into their language, they got it from Al-Islam, from the Quran, Kadira chewing the cud. Now, Lilatul Qadr, not Kadira. So this is the one like I'm associating with cud for cow. Kahira runs man, Asfira, Shahira. So the night of power is better than 1,000 months. Then it goes on to describe what is coming down, what happened on that night, right? Better than 1,000 months means it's better than containing man's behavior under a cruel cultural system. 1,000 months, one of the translations doing is commentary said it means that it is better than a lifetime. It's because most people do not live to be 1,000 months. So it is like that, life expectancy, longevity, expectancy. So now I do not have any problem with that. It is a good translation, an excellent translation, but I think when it says it is better than 1,000 months, it means that it is better than the whole duration of your scheme to contain man behavior under a cruel system. So 3 months is a season called to use to control the masses. 3 months is a season, and from time three, it is a whole year. Now usually they work just upon a year. So these cultures work to hold us for a year, to get it in the summer and put it in the winter, and then bring it to spring and then back into the Kasama. So that is how they rotate us, governing us, and keep our behavior under them. So now this is just 12 months, but this is better than 1,000 months. In the Arabic language system, this is not ordinary language. This is esoteric language system. So the language that has to be translated in order for you to understand and get the real meaning in 1,000 means. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. I've been your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa Excellent Murad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m., inshallah, which I should have said, inshallah, we will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday. And it only means that it pleased God. So we thank you, our honorable listening audience, and may God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.